All right, brethren, Psalm 75. Now, this psalm teaches us that all judgment, all government belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our risen King, and He's governing everything in this world to promote His humbled people to His glorious salvation. This psalm is Christ speaking. Beginning, it says, to the chief musician, Altashith, a psalm or a song of Asaph. That word means do not destroy. And Christ has a people in this world that He's redeemed who must be called out. And so He says, do not destroy. Now, we begin here, and this is Christ speaking. We give thanks to God, but our thanksgiving has to come to Him through Christ. And Christ here is interceding on behalf of His people. And He says, unto Thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto Thee do we give thanks, for that Thy name is near, Thy wondrous works declare. His name is near. That's His name. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. And His name is manifest in Christ. Now, Christ is near all men, even proud men, in the sense that in Him we live and move and have our being. He says, call on Him while He's near, now, right, while He can be called on. But God's near to His people who He's given a broken and contrite heart to believe on it. Go over with me to Isaiah 66. This will go right along with our psalm, Isaiah 66, 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you build unto me? Where's the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox, who wants to come to God by his sacrifices, he's as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they've chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. This is men trying to promote themselves into God's acceptance by their own sacrifices. He said, I also would choose their delusions and would bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, when He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to His enemies. So our psalm is speaking of Christ and His wondrous works of salvation, how that He's promoting salvation, the salvation of His people. And that's what our Lord is doing. First, He does it by demotion. Promotion with God is first by demotion. He's going to make proud sinners humble in heart, so we cast all our care on Christ and trust Him alone. That's His wondrous work in His people. And He makes us trust His wondrous work of redemption. Now, first, I want to show you here. I've titled this, Promotion is of God. And that's the lesson here. He that exalts himself shall be abased. He that abases himself shall be exalted. Now, first of all, we know His name is near by the wondrous work of His government. He says there in verse 2, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. And the word judge here is govern. The government is on His shoulder. The government's His. He said, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. Now, Christ is speaking, and the congregation is God's elect. It's the church. It's the spiritual Israel of God. Now, Christ received the congregation in eternity when He became our surety, and entered into everlasting covenant to redeem His people and bring His people to glory, to God in glory. And that covenant word is upheld all things by that word. And He's upheld all things by that word. But the word here, when He says, I'll receive the congregation, means a set time, a due time. That's when Christ came and when he finished the work of redemption and put away the sin of his people. When he arose and entered into glory, it was manifestly shown that he received the congregation, that he entered into his glory, and all judgment was manifestly given to him. All judgment. Hebrews 1:3 says, him being the brightness of his glory, of God's glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. That's that everlasting covenant word. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You remember Paul said in Ephesians 1, he prayed that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might behold the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he said, and that you'd know the exceeding greatness of his power. It's the same power that arose by which Christ arose, is the power by which he regenerated us. But when he arose, he gave him a name above every name. He lifted him above all power and principality in heaven and in earth and all deep places. He's above all, and he's the head of the church, and he fills all in all. And the next word says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. See, that's the wondrous work by which we know his name is near. This is how come we know the government is his. This is how come we know he's all power. It's because he sent the gospel and made our proud feet come under the sound of the gospel. And then he broke our proud heart and made us hear his word and bow to Christ and behold that he is the Lord our righteousness. He's salvation. He's everything and all to his people so that we can enter into God's presence. He promoted us to be accepted of God by what he did. And he did that first by humbling us in our hearts. So we thank him and we praise God for him because all praise and all thanksgiving is due to him. But that's how we know his name is near, because that wondrous work declares it to us. And we know his name is near by his wondrous work of preserving us to preach his gospel. He says there in verse 3, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. Now, when Adam sinned, the earth and the inhabitants thereof were dissolved. In other words, mankind's government of ourselves dissolved due to sin. Sinners began attempting to promote ourselves to God by exalting ourselves over one another in pride. That's what we started at in the garden. And the first murder was a will worker exalting himself, trying to promote himself to God, killing a child of God who believed salvation by grace through faith in Christ. That was the first murder. And throughout history, nations of men have sought dominion and vengeance and destruction on other nations of men. If the government was left to us, to prideful man, we'd destroy ourselves trying to promote ourselves over one another. Just that quick. At times, God takes restraints off and shows us that. When war breaks out, and we get to see those images, and we see what's in your heart and mind. And if God took the restraint off, it would just be nothing but war. But by the Word, by Christ the Word, by the everlasting covenant Word, he upholds his pillars like he did in the days of Noah. And scoffers scoff now, and they say, well, everything goes the same. And he says, this they're willingly ignorant of. It was the Word of God that held everything in store then, and it is now. The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store because he's not willing that any of his people should perish, but that all should be brought to repentance. But when he's done that, he's called the last elect child to him. He's going to remove this governing hand, this governing power. And he says, and all these things shall be dissolved. Everything should be dissolved. He's upholding everything by his governing power. But we know by experience this wondrous work on a daily basis. Because he says, I bear up the pillars of it. Now, Christ upholds everything in heaven and in earth. But the pillars are you who he's everlastingly loved. The pillars are his people, regenerated by him and kept by him. The house of God is the church of the living God. That's made up of his people, the pillar and ground of the truth. The Lord's apostles, James, Cephas, and John, were called pillars. And that's so of every one of God's saints. They're pillars. They're pillars. What does that mean? He says, I uphold the pillars of the earth. What does that mean? Well, you know, he said we're salt. And that means because of his people in this world, because his church is in this world preaching this gospel, until he calls that last child out, it's the preservative of the whole world. Well, by the same token, his people are the pillars on which this whole world is held up, because he's going to call out that last chosen, redeemed, elect child, going to regenerate it. But notice here, he says, I bear up the pillars. We don't bear up ourselves. He bears us up. And so we experience this on a daily basis. He bears us up, not we him. Look over at Jeremiah 1, and this is good news to us, brethren, because as we go through this world, and this world is full of self-promotion, and it's at the expense of others, and so this is good, especially because we're sent to preach the word. And watch this now. Jeremiah was weeping, he was wilting, because he didn't have any strength, and he knew he didn't. He knew he didn't. And he was going before some hard-faced kings and princes that hated him. But listen to what the Lord commanded him. Jeremiah 1:17. That thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Christ holds up each of his people as the pillars. He holds us up, and he is the only reason that the gates of hell won't prevail against his church. And no enemies are going to prevail against his people until that last sheep is called out. And he's going to call them out. And by that wondrous work, we know he's near. He's daily holding us up. And we know Christ is near, thirdly, because his wondrous work of continually keeping us humble, continually keeping us at his feet. He said in verse 4, I said unto the fools, to the proud boasters, deal not foolishly, arrogantly. And to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Don't lift up your strength. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck, obstinately. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and set up another. My great-grandfather Curtis had a large farm, and he had a barnyard where it had goats in it. And the old Billy had pretty long horns, and he was always wanting to lock horns with the other goats. But one thing he always did is if there was a mound of dirt or anything around, he tried to get up on that highest peak and be above the other goats. Well, brethren, all spiritually dead sinners are the fool, the wicked, boasting, self-exalting, self-promoting, seeking promotion to heaven by God, by exalting themselves over other worms just like themselves. That's exactly what's going on. And I know this applies to everything in this world. All promotion comes of God. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. Ask the Apostle Peter. But brethren, this applies to salvation. Men are trying to exalt themselves over others to promote themselves to glory. The Pharisee thought himself righteous, and he despised that sinful publican. What was he doing? He was promoting himself by exalting himself over another. I thank thee, Lord, I'm not like other men. I'm not like this publican. The Lord says, boast not, deal not foolishly, lift not up thy horn, speak not with a stiff neck. But without God's grace, that warning falls on a stony heart. But that wicked, self-exalting, prideful nature is in every believer. That's in us too. Every one of us. Our sovereign judge humbles his elect by showing us our sin and our inability continually. That he's the only one who promotes. He says to us continually in our heart, lift not up the horn. Don't lift up your strength. Don't lift up your strength on high. Speak not with an obstinate stiff neck. He continually shows his child that salvation is of his hand. God alone promotes his child to his throne. That's the promotion. And he is the only one that can promote us to his throne. Verse 6, promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. It's not of man. It's not of man. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. Now that's true in providence, but the word is concerning salvation. God chose whom he would and passed by whom he would. Go with me to 1 Samuel 2. This illustrates this the best, I think. 1 Samuel 2. And I'll give you the background. Elkanah had two wives. Hannah, who was barren. That's a picture of a true sinner. That's a picture of one of God's people. She was barren. And Peninnah, who had many children. That's a picture of the proud, self-promoting, self-righteous man. Hannah wanted desperately to have a child. She wanted to bear fruit, but she couldn't. She had no ability to produce a child, not any. And neither does any sinner have the ability to produce a righteousness God will accept. We don't have ability to promote ourselves into God's presence. We're barren with no ability to produce spiritual life. We can't produce spiritual, a holy heart. We can't produce any spiritual fruit. It will not come of us. But Peninnah had many children. So she exalted herself over Hannah. She provoked Hannah sore to make her cry because the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. The fool boasts and exalts his horn over the poor sinner, bragging it that he's got more fruit because this one don't have as much fruit. Like the publican over the Pharisee over the publican, like Peninnah over Hannah. But by the Lord shutting up Hannah's womb, he gave her a broken and a contrite spirit. That's showing her she couldn't bear fruit. That's showing her promotion wasn't of her. He gave her a broken and a contrite spirit. And she humbled herself before the Lord in bitterness of soul, praying and weeping. She came before God like that publican who smote upon his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. She was abased. She was humbled. She was brought down. And she vowed that if the Lord would produce a child in her, she'd give that child to the Lord all his days. And the Lord's promotion, and he's going to promote his child to salvation, to righteousness, to glory, to acceptance, it's going to come first by demotion. He's going to abase us. He's going to bring us to see we can't promote ourselves. We can't exalt ourselves. We cannot produce anything pleasing to God of ourselves. Nothing. His name's near them who are of a broken and a contrite spirit. A broken spirit, a contrite spirit. He won't despise. He delights in it because it's the fruit he produced. It's the fruit he produced. The confession of sin. The barrenness of soul. The inability, the total reliance upon the Lord to save us every hour beginning to end. The Lord promoted Hannah. He produced a child in Hannah, just like he forms Christ in his people. And she gave that child to the Lord. We come to the Father with nothing but the child he gave, Christ the Lord. He's our only acceptance. We come before the Lord, trusting him. Him alone. And like that publican, she went down to her house justified. She went down to her house seeing his wondrous works for her. And this is what she learned right here. This is what Lord taught her right here. 1 Samuel 2:1. 1 Samuel 2:1. And Hannah prayed and she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Peninnah was boasting and exalting herself in over what she thought she had produced. Hannah says, I rejoice in God's salvation. My mouth's been made to rejoice over my enemies. How? Not by what the world thinks in being elevated over her enemy, but being made lower than her enemy to trust the Lord alone, to rejoice in His salvation. Look at this. There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none besides Thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. You think about this. God our Savior is the God of knowledge. He knows the proud, self-exalting heart, and He weighs the actions of that one in the scales of justice, and He's going to come up wanting. His heart is, I'll provoke myself to God. I'll do the works God's pleased with. Look how much better I am than that one. Surely God will receive me. And God says, you're going to be judged in righteousness by that man, and you'll be wanting. But the believer's actions, the one who's been broken and contrite, the Lord knows that heart too. He knows that heart too. He broke it. He put humility and put Him in the dust to see His nothingness. And our actions are weighed as well. Because our actions is coming to Him, casting all our care on Christ. Trusting His righteousness alone. And nothing of ourselves. And the Lord receives that broken and contrite sinner. Hannah learned that he that exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's what she says now. Look at verse 4. The bows of the mighty men are broken. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. They're empty. And they that were hungry ceased. They've been filled. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. And here's the promotion Christ gives right here. To make them inherit the throne of glory for the pillars of the earth. They're the Lord's. He bought us. They're His. And He has set the world on them. He's going to bring us to glory. He'll keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And He shall give strength unto His King and exalt the horn of His anointed. He gives strength to Christ and exalt Christ and exalts His people in Him. You see that? She learned this, that it's not the proud. It's those that He makes humble before Him. Promotion with God is demotion. He lifts up. He puts down, and then He lifts up for His people. And the proud that won't bow, just be put down. Now, go back to our text. Here's a warning to the proud. Psalm 75:8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It's full of mixture, and He poureth out of the same. Now, God's judgment right now in this earth, He's pouring out of this cup, and it's tempered right now. There's a mixture. The judgment's tempered. For His people, He's judging, but there's mercy mixed with it for His people. Everything He's doing is in mercy. But even for the proud, it's not anything like what it will be. It's tempered. But in the day of judgment, there won't be any mixture of judgment. He says, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. They're going to drink them to the last drop. Now listen, why do you say that's? Because He said, right now there's a mixture. But in the day of judgment, in Revelation 14:10, he said, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. But Christ drank that cup dry for his people. He drank it dry for his people. When he went to Calvary's cross and bore the fierce fury of God's wrath for us, he drank the dregs of the cup. He said, I've taken it out of your hand. You will not drink it again. But he's given you the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation. And so Christ says this, verse 9, but I will declare forever. I'll live forever. I'll declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, and so do all his sinful Jacobs in him. The way we praise God and glorify God and perfectly obey God so that God receives us is because Christ perfectly glorified and praised him, and we did in him. We're Jacobs. Aren't you glad he said sons of Jacob? We're going to find ourselves like Hannah at his feet, broken and contrite, barren, because we can't bear fruit. And we're going to find ourselves being exalted over by Peninnahs who got so much fruit that they about to pop. But the Lord's going to keep you at his feet. And he's going to keep you knowing Christ is everything. He says, don't play the fool. Don't exalt your horn. Why? Because all the horns of the wicked also will I cut off. Everybody that tries to come to our God and promoting themselves and what they've done, he says, I'm cutting them off. Cutting them off. But now get this. But the horns of the righteous. And really that word horns, it's speaking of all of us having a horn. It's just really the word horns is singular. The horn of the righteous is Christ. It's him. And the horn of the righteous shall be exalted. He was exalted on the cross. He's exalted in the gospel. He's exalted in our heart. He's exalted to God's right hand. And he's going to bring us there with him, exalted with him to that full promotion. That's all of the Lord, brethren. Every bit of it. So as we go through this life and these lesser things, we don't have to try to protest and make something happen. Why? Because promotion doesn't come of us. It comes of him. He lifts up, he puts down. There's no point in us boasting about how we outshine the next fellow at work. That's all promotion really is about, is trying to do it at the expense of the other fellow. Lord said, I'm the one that does the promoting. And especially, we see that in salvation. So here's the lesson. Whosoever exalteth himself should be abased. He that humbleth himself should be exalted. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray that you would be pleased to bless it to our hearts and Lord, keep your people at your feet. Keep us knowing that we have nothing but what we receive from you. Keep us mourning over our barrenness and our sinfulness. And keep us trusting your righteousness only. Lord, bear us up as your pillars and protect us, defend us. And Lord, we trust that you will. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, this is a world that's dangerous, but we're thankful you're holding everything in store, ruling everything from the White House to the trailer house. And pray, Lord, you keep us looking only to you. Forgive us our sins, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.